Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Proverbs, chapter 1. We'd like to read verse 24 through the end of the chapter, which is verse 33. Proverbs 1, 24 through 33. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. All of us know what it is like to receive instruction from our parents. Mom and dad have the tendency to hand out jewels of wisdom. Well, let me give you a little bit of advice is a common theme, and rightly so. Parents should warn the child before judgment comes. A teacher should warn her students. A coach should give warning to his players. And personally, I am thankful for the opportunity to do right, and that it is available, and that warnings are extended before punishment comes. So, you here that are young, the next time your parents try to help you, don't just glaze over and figure that you're just being lectured to. Be glad they love you enough to help. In fact, you do well to listen. Heed their warning. Peace and prosperity may not last forever. Have you ever thought about the city of Sodom? Sodom was under the foreign oppression for 12 years. And after that, they were beaten in war and carried away by the victors. Mercy was extended to them by God, and Abraham came to the rescue. But then how long after that do we find two angels entering into town? Was it 10 years, 15 years? Regardless, the angels came. And we know the city was destroyed along with all the other cities of the plain except for Zoar. Now when Lot chose to go to Sodom, the scriptures says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And then, just prior to the angels coming to Sodom, the Bible records, the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. And then we read, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities. Have you ever considered that the foreign oppression was a message from God to them about their sin? Is it possible that their loss in war and being carried away into captivity was a tap on the shoulder from God? Well, it seems to me that it was. And I believe that warning was given unto them, and they did not hear. Finally, judgment came, and that without mercy. I believe God gives opportunity and warning. He gives men space to repent. Yet man often will not listen. And sometimes there is a response, but it's too late. It is my intention today to encourage you to heed the warning. We've read it in our text, and we want to think about that today. The title of my message is, Heed the Warning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for this privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we realize that no one is here by accident, and we ask that you'd be pleased to take your word today, speak to every heart, and may your will be done in every life. We pray for those that are lost, that you would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus, that they might be saved. And we who are saved might be strengthened and encouraged in you, that, Lord, we would hear your word and be responsive to you and live faithful as you would have us to live. Lord, just bless your time. And so we might honor you and glorify you through the word as we have sung praise to your name and we offer up prayers. Lord, we just pray that you would be worshiped today. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Heed the warning. That's the title of the message. Now, in this text, we find expression is given from the first person. It is as if a person is speaking about what he would do. Now, at first glance, it appears that the speaker is God, and some think that it is. But I'm not so sure that the speaker is the Lord. I don't believe that this is the case. And the reason for this is we are very early on here in the book of Proverbs. And the book is filled with tidbits of wisdom and nuggets of knowledge. The book is penned by wise Solomon through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Solomon introduces the book by speaking about wisdom. In verse 1, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And so wise men will desire wisdom. Wisdom comes by first fearing God. You can look at it in verse 1. Wisdom is available to men. Verse 20. We are encouraged to seek after wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. And verse 5, look, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand and fear the Lord and find the knowledge of God. By the way, God is the one who gives wisdom. That's chapter 2, verse 6. And wisdom is very profitable. Chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 11. And I believe, my perspective is, that the text before us is the voice of wisdom. Wisdom is personified. Wisdom speaks. And my friend, what is her message? It is basically, heed the warning. Heed the warning. Now let's look into this passage and we'll just break it down a little bit as we go through and look at these verses. First of all, wisdom is available to men. Verse 24, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Wisdom is available. Wisdom is called. Wisdom has stretched out their hand. Wisdom is the initiator. There's opportunity. God grants men understanding, ability, availability, wisdom. I'm glad that God has revealed himself and has revealed his will. Wisdom has called. Wisdom has stretched out the hand. Wisdom is available to men. There's no reason for us to go through this life ignorant. We don't need to be fools. We can be wise individuals. But then if you'll notice verse 24 and verse 25 together, wisdom is rejected by foolish men. Now he called, this wisdom is called and they refused it. I have stretched out my hand, no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Men refuse. They did not regard. They counted it as nothing, as worthless. Over in the book of Romans in chapter 1, it speaks of how, and you don't need to turn over there, but it speaks about how that they professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I mean, people are so intelligent and so brilliant, they're ignorant. Have you ever run into some of those people? And as I watch some of these reports and these scientists, educated individuals, learned individuals, and I certainly do not minimize education. I think education is a good thing. But some of these people, they are so smart that they say the dumbest things. You know why it is? Because they don't believe God. They don't believe the Word of God. In all their wisdom, they become foolish. And so wisdom has been made available, but just as every parent knows, every bit of wisdom that's imparted to a child is not necessarily received. Men will refuse it. Men don't want correction. They don't want rebuke. And so wisdom has given itself. Wisdom has called unto them, stretched out their hand, but they would none of that. They don't want to hear. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool has no delight in understanding. You don't want to be a fool, do you? You want to know. You want to hear. Do not turn away when wisdom speaks. And so verse 24 is that wisdom is available, but verse 24 and 25 together says, well, although it's available, it's rejected by foolish men. Then look into verse 26 and verse 27. Men will receive judgment. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. What it is that men will receive the results of sin and their rebellion against God. They don't want to hear reproof. They don't want instruction. They don't want to know God's will. They don't want to listen to wisdom. Then that's fine. You make your decision. Go your way. But you'll reap the result of your decision. When calamity comes, when that trouble arises, when fear comes upon you, talks about destruction in the text, the distress and the anguish that's going to come upon individuals because they failed to hear those things which were wise. And so judgment comes. How many times have we seen that? Wisdom is given. Wisdom is imparted. And a young person just will fail to hear and goes out and makes some drastic mistakes. That happens. And it happens all too often. And I'm sure that every one of us can look in our lives and find points of existence where we did the same thing. We just would not hear. We just had to do it our way, and we found out it wasn't the right way. And the reason judgment will come upon them is because they've despised wisdom, they've rejected wisdom and the ways of God. So verse 26 and verse 27 is that men will receive judgment because of their choices. And then verse 28 through verse 30, wisdom will refuse the fool's cries. Wisdom is given, it's rejected. Trouble comes, they want help. How many times we've heard that? Look at it, verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. The warning's given, isn't it? You have the opportunity, you have the availability, but if you fail to hear, then judgment will come. And then you'll say, well, I'll call then. But when trouble comes out of their foolishness, that's when men's going to want the wisdom. That's when they'll turn unto God, as it were. But wisdom says, when you call unto me at that time, I will not answer. You will not be able to find me. Wisdom will deny the cries of the fool. It's too late, isn't it? As before, the reason is because wisdom was despised and wisdom was rejected. You see that again in verse 29 where he talks about you hated knowledge. You chose not to fear the Lord. You wouldn't listen to my counsel. You would have nothing of my reproof. And so as a result, you've made your bed and essentially it's lying in it. That's what's going to come upon you. And when wisdom is saying, hey, I have something for you which you need, and the Proverbs, Solomon speaks about how you ought to seek that as above gold. I mean, wisdom is very important. But if you don't want wisdom, you don't want to do it God's way and know what God wants, you can choose that if you wish. But trouble is going to come to you. Sometimes you can get to the point where it's just too late. You're going to cry out and say, oh, now I need some wisdom, but it's just too late. And that's the warning that's given within the passage. Wisdom will refuse the cry of the fool. But then verse 31 and verse 32, the foolish men will reap their own ways. Therefore, well, they're calling, but they're not going to get wisdom now. It's too late. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of the fools shall destroy them. Basically, they're going to get back what they put into it. They're reaping what they've sown. And you know, we know that's a true principle. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, they're turning away from wisdom. Their prosperity is going to slay them. Their ignorance and walking away is going to destroy them. They thought it was a benefit, but they find out that really wasn't the choice. And it was looking good for a while until the trouble came and the heartache came. And what it is the day of reckoning shall arrive. If you ever have an opportunity to hear that great sermon, payday, someday, know it to be true, my friend, judgment shall come. You cannot be a fool and get by with it. You cannot reject the wisdom that God gives and escape by the judgment. You can't reject God and believe that He's just going to turn His head and look away. The day of reckoning will arrive. And He says when that happens to them, they're just going to reap what they've sown. They're just going to have to endure what they brought upon themselves. But notice in contrast, verse 33, men who receive instruction are wise. Haven't you tried to help somebody out sometime and they just will not listen? And you think, you know, you're just making a big mistake. But aren't you glad that there are some people that will hear? Aren't you glad that there are people that have instructed you? And you're wise if you listen. Men who receive instruction are wise. The contrast, verse 33, but. Oh, that's in contrast to those fools who will not hear, who did not want anything until trouble came. Then they're crying for help, but it's too late. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You listen to wisdom, respond to wisdom, and you will be blessed. God will watch over you. You'll dwell safely. You'll be quiet from the fear of evil, the Scripture says. And oh, how much it is wisdom for us to receive the instruction that we need. Look into chapter 3 and look at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Wisdom is important. Wisdom will protect us. Chapter 2, look at verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Oh, if you only knew, you wouldn't have made that decision. You wouldn't have made that investment. You wouldn't have done that thing. You wouldn't have been with that person. If you only knew. You see, wisdom is essential, isn't it? Heed the warning. Wisdom is crying out. Wisdom wants to be extended to you. It is available. You have opportunity. Do not turn it away. Even as you hear the Word of God preached and you read it on your own, do not turn a deaf ear to the Word of the Lord. Wisdom is available. Now, as I mentioned unto you, there are some who look at this passage and they say, no, this is God, and God alone is speaking. And I understand why they come to that perspective. And if we share a different of opinion on this case, then it's okay, because you know what? There is a very, very close parallel of wisdom to God. Let me demonstrate that to you. Back in chapter 1, look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You want to fear God and respond to God and do what God desires for you to do? Then that's wisdom, isn't it? You want to be foolish? You want to despise wisdom and instruction that you find in God? That's a foolish thing to do. That's what you read in the text. Chapter 2, look at verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How closely associated is wisdom and God? If you have wisdom, you know about God. If you know about God, you're gaining wisdom, aren't you? Chapter 9, look at verse 10, Proverbs 9. Verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want wisdom? Fear God. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. My friend, you need wisdom? Fear God. Seek who God is. Let me read to you Psalm 111 and verse 10. Psalm 111, 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. A good understanding. Why? Because you know who God is and you respond to that. You've heard the word and react. Wisdom has been speaking to you and you listen. That's a good thing, isn't it? Job 28:28 says, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." Look at chapter 8 of the book of Proverbs. Look at verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." What are you finding here? Those who want wisdom, as the Scriptures express wisdom, as we're looking at even in chapter 1, it's to fear God. It is to know God. It is to respond to God. And so it is, by way of contrast, as we mentioned earlier about those in our society that are very well educated as far as men are concerned. Man, they're intelligent, and their Mensa numbers way up there. Just brilliant individuals, but yet they're fools. They're fools. Do you know why? Because they reject God. They reject the wisdom that comes from God. They're worldly smart, but they're spiritually ignorant. And I'll tell you, I would rather be worldly ignorant and spiritually smart. I would rather have the wisdom of God and the fear of the Lord than all kinds of degrees that this world could offer. Because all that will just vanish away. That just leads to judgment and destruction. But the fear of the Lord, well, that's the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? And so I understand how they can look at these verses and say, well, that's God speaking. Well, in a sense, it is. Where will you get your wisdom? You're going to get it from God. Even within the chapter 2, wisdom is contrasted to evil. If you're wise, you won't be choosing these things. If you're wise, you'll be choosing God. Isn't that a distinction between good and evil? Righteousness and wickedness? And so, chapter 3, verse 33, look over there and it says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just." Because God is absolute wisdom. It is true. You reject God, you reject his wisdom. And you're going to receive judgment, just like the judgment that's going to come those who turn away from the wisdom of God. God is the one that grants us wisdom. That's where we're going to find it. Chapter 2, verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." I'll tell you, my friend, if you look at yourself and you examine your life and you say, you know what, I'm pretty familiar with the things of this world and the things of life, but I'm certainly lacking in areas. All of us need wisdom, don't we? Where are we going to get that wisdom? You say, well, I want to go to school, and I want to hit the books, and I'm going to talk to these people, and I'll go seek out some mystic somewhere and find out what the purpose of life is. Well, you can do all that, but I'll tell you, wisdom comes from God. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Isn't that a grand promise? Because the truth is, we lack wisdom. But we can go to God at any time and say, "God, I need wisdom. Would you give me this wisdom?" Ask God. Believe that God would give wisdom to you. He has plenty of it to abound. He gives liberally. He's more than happy to make you wise. Would you approach the Lord? Would you ask Him for wisdom? Wisdom comes from God. Therefore, when you think about the personification of wisdom in the text, it's very easy to connect it to the Lord, isn't it? Well, Solomon concluded in Ecclesiastes 12:13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I'll tell you, there's just a close parallel between wisdom and God, because God is ultimately wise, isn't He? And if we're going to get anything, we need to get it from God, not from what the world thinks. And you look through the text, generally the speech of the text does sound like God, doesn't it? The same things that I had mentioned in regard to wisdom and how wisdom provides itself and will respond is exactly what God does. God has revealed Himself to man, hasn't He? Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the handiwork of God, but not just the general revelation that we see by looking out at the stars and the creation and understanding that there's something more than us, That's a good thing, but it's not sufficient. We need greater revelation. And thank God for His special revelation, the Word of God. I'm glad I'm not dependent upon looking at the stars and looking at the animals to figure out who God is. But God, in His graciousness, has revealed Himself to man through His Word. And what a blessing it is that we can know about God and know the will of God and know the ways of God by looking into His book. Love the Word of God, my friend. Read it, study it, incorporate it into your life. God has revealed Himself to man. Wisdom says, I have stretched out my hand. I have called unto you. God has made Himself available. He has revealed Himself to man. But foolish men, just like they reject wisdom, foolish men have rejected God. Isn't that true? Men who reject God are foolish. You say, well, that's not a very nice thing to say. I'm not a Christian and I don't believe that God exists. The Bible says you're a fool. That may be offensive to you, but you better receive the instruction of God's Word. Let wisdom speak to your heart so that you can recognize who you really are, that you are foolish. God's revealed Himself, but men have rejected God, and as a result, men will receive judgment. Now, that's true in just the physical things of life. God says, this is how you do it. This is how you ought to live. These are the things I want you to do. If we choose to disobey that and do it our own way and make decisions that are against God's will, then you know what? We'll pay for that in a physical sense. We'll pay for that in a societal sense. But there is certainly a spiritual application. You know, God has said, this is the way, walk ye in it. And if men reject God, then men will receive the judgments that's due unto that. And so you're here today, you're a sinner, you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God's revealed Himself, He's revealed His will, and you know you're a sinner. The Bible says all sin and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, how do I know that? Because sin is the transgression of the law, the Scripture says. And so if you've broken the law, the laws of God, then you're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. Men will receive judgment for despising God. Just as much as if we despise the wisdom, we're going to receive the judgment because we weren't wise enough to avoid. And so God reveals Himself to men, just like wisdom has. Foolish men reject God, and so then men are punished. And what will happen? When the punishment starts coming, that's when they start crying out, oh God, hear me! That's when the five virgins are saying, who are foolish, knocking on the door, open, Lord, open unto us. And He says, I don't know you. You see, God will reject the cries of the wicked. We were looking in the Sunday school hour this morning about Luke chapter 16, the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and he was in torments. Don't you know the rich man? And I mentioned this morning in the Sunday school. He wasn't arrogant anymore. His pride was gone, and he wanted his brothers to avoid that place. He didn't want them to come to that horrible place of suffering. And if the rich man could have gotten out of hell, I guarantee you he would have. He would have cried out, God save me. God take me out of here. And if it could have happened, then he would want that to happen. The rich man was there. And he's still there. Men will receive judgment from God, and when they cry out to God after the judgment has come, it's going to be just too late. Sometimes you can just waste away the time and availability and opportunity that God gives to you. And so you find, just like in the passage, wicked men will reap their sin and their rebellion. And so if you're foolish with your health when you're young and you get old, you can cry out to God all you want, but generally, sometimes God is merciful, but generally, you know what? You're just going to pay what you did for in your youth. And you put that in a spiritual sense, you want to reject God and go your way and live your life and have nothing to do with the Lord, you can do that, but when you lift up your eyes in hell, like the rich man, you're not going to get out. You're going to reap and you're going to stay there forever. It's what you brought upon yourself. But remember verse 33 about those who would listen to wisdom? What a blessing that is. What an opportunity. Well, just like that, with the Lord, you know, there's favor to those who seek God. Would you be wise today? Would you listen to the word of the Lord? Would you understand about who God is? And you want to be wise today? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You need to seek after Him. You want to do that which is right. And so you need to heed the warning. And so I certainly understand why people say, well, that's God speaking. And if I'm in error, that's okay because it's close enough. You know, if that's wisdom speaking, that's still God, isn't it? God is the voice of wisdom. Will you hear wisdom? Will you hear the voice of God? Now let me restate the text simply. We'll not look at the verses again, but I'm going to give you the references. In the passage, we find that there's a warning that was given by wisdom in verse 24 and verse 25. In verse 26 and verse 27, judgment will come upon those who did not heed the warning. That's what the text says. And then once the final judgment begins, it's too late. Verse 27 through verse 32. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? It's too late. It's too late. But in verse 33, the good news is, and it's a reminder to us, that those who seek wisdom will be blessed. You want to be wise? God will bless you. And if you're wise, you'll seek God. You seek God, God will bless you. You see, I direct you to the Lord, and so let me make an application of the text. God has given warning to the wicked, hasn't He? He has. Judgment will come upon those who will not heed the warning. Know the Word of God is true. He warns the wicked. Will you listen? Because once final judgment begins, it's too late for mercy. It's too late. I've talked to many people who said that they know that they needed to be saved, but they're going to wait because they had their whole life ahead of them, and they're going to wait and they're going to make a deathbed confession. Well, one, you never know if you're going to have a deathbed. And then two, how do you know there might even be any implication in your heart or desire to know God at that point? Generally, it will not be the case. You've hardened your heart all your life. Why would you call upon Him when you're drawing your last breath? You say, well, it's possible and it takes place. I know it's possible and it does take place. But generally, it does not. And so do not wait. Do not put it off. But I guarantee you draw your last breath, it's too late. And there's no prayers and no work and no amount of money that's going to get you out of hell, my friend. You need to heed the Word of God now while you can. You see, the text tells us there's a reminder that those who seek God will find mercy. And what a blessing that is. Listen to chapter 8, verse 35. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. There wisdom is personified again. But it's still true of the Lord, isn't it? My friend, seek the Lord, you can find life. Reject Him, you find death. Does God give opportunity? Does God give availability? Does God give warning? I believe that He does. And there's a host of examples in the Scriptures, and I'm not going to try to enumerate them all, but there are a few of them I want to share with you as we just draw the message to a close. Turn, if you will, to the book of Judges, chapter 2. We'll just look at a few passages, and we'll let the Scriptures say as they are meant to say, and learn the lesson. Judges, chapter 2, verse 20. Israel came up out of Egypt, came into the promised land. They were supposed to obey God and destroy all the people of the land. They didn't do it, right? Verse 20, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And He said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. What is it? They had opportunity. They had availability. They had the command of God. They even performed part of it. But they were not thorough in it. And God was angered with the children of Israel and said, you know what? It's finished. I'm not driving out anybody anymore. You will not destroy them all. Some of those people will reside. Why? Because they had wisdom. They had opportunity. And they would not listen. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. If you would, please. Jeremiah, chapter 6. Israel did not respond very well to the prophets of God, and they were carried away into captivity, and judgment came upon them. And here we find a statement unto the nations. Just one verse, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19. But notice what's being said here. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. God said, I'm going to punish the children of Israel because they had the law, they had the opportunity, they would not hear, they rejected me. I will judge them. Does God give warning? Does He give opportunity? Oh, He does. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Two other references. Joash was the king of Judah. Young kid, 7 years old when he ascended the throne. Fortunately, he had somebody to look after him, Jehoiada the priest. But something happens. Jehoiada is going to die. Notice what the scriptures tell us in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 15. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Notice, now after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the kings. They came up to Joash. And the king hearkened unto them. Jehoiada was able to help Joash and keep him on the right path. After he's gone, the princes come up, start saying these things before the king. The king buys into their concepts. Verse 18, And they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And the wrath of God came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. So the princes of Israel come up and convince the king to go away from God. And he did. Verse 19, yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. God gave Israel every opportunity, the southern tribe, the Judah, every opportunity. Jehoiada dies, Joash goes after other gods. Worships in different fashion. And God sent prophets unto them time and time and time again, and they would not hear. And God judges them for that. One last verse, very familiar passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And as much as it is true for the children of Israel, it is still the cry for today. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Notice verse 13 and verse 14. See if there is an opportunity. See if there isn't a tap on the shoulder. See if there isn't some instruction from God that goes unheeded. 2 Chronicles 7, 13. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What is it? God gives warning. God extends wisdom. God speaks to the people. If they will hear, if they will respond, God will bless. God will forgive. God will heal. If they would. Doesn't God tap His people on the shoulder sometime? If I send no, there be no rain? If I say that there's locusts to devour the land? Doesn't God do all sorts of things? I was going to read, but I'm not going to take the time. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 through verse 11. If you get a chance, read that this afternoon. Haggai 1, verse 5 through verse 11. He says, you know what? I've brought sickness. I've brought pestilence. I've brought disease. I have dried up the skies and the fields didn't give forth their fruit. I've done everything to get your attention. And throughout that passage, the prophet keeps saying, consider your ways, consider your ways, consider your ways. And they just would not hear. Do you get the statement of Proverbs chapter 1? Whether you make it wisdom personified or God Himself, there's not much difference between them. There's a warning that's extended there to men. To hear the wisdom of God. to know who God is and to respond. God does give opportunity. God does give warning. And I know not every time, but much of the time, when affliction comes our way, I believe it's God tapping us on the shoulder. Not every time, but much of the time, I would say God's tapping us on the shoulder. If I may, I would say that it was God trying to get our attention. God in wisdom speaks to us about our walk, our way, our wickedness. And it's God who sends that wake-up call. The Lord is giving us warning about the path that we're traveling on. And the question is, will you heed the warning? When God taps you on the shoulder, when He gets your attention, will you hear? Will you respond well? Lost friend, you've heard the gospel over and over and over. You know you need Jesus Christ. You've been warned. You know you need the Savior. I say heed the warning. Don't wait for some deathbed opportunity, which may never, ever come. Heed the warning. If you know you're lost, you're under condemnation, you need the Savior. Heed the warning. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late, my friend. Because once you die, it will be too late. And you can cry out all you wish after you lift up your eyes in hell saying, I want to believe and I recognize that now and I truly want to follow Jesus. It will be too late. Heed the warning, lost friend. And dear saved friend, the Spirit of God perhaps has convicted you numerous times about that besetting sin. God has spoken to your heart about something. I just say, heed the warning. God's trying to get your attention. He's imparting wisdom. Will you hear? Will you listen? God has a way of getting our attention. The problem is, we're just so stubborn, aren't we? And we just refuse to hear. We will not respond, but realize sooner or later, judgment will fall. And judgment will fall without mercy. I say again, heed the warning. Heed the warning. As wisdom and as God stretches out their hands, and they call unto you, listen, respond. Sinner friend, repent and believe. We who are saved, let us hear the voice of God and let us be found faithful. Let us heed the warning. The Scriptures are clear if we will not. May God bless you as you think about these things and reflect upon these things. God will speak to your heart so that you'll be one who will heed the warning. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are, if you're lost, God's speaking to you, convicting you, would you repent and believe on the Lord? Would you be saved right there? Would you hear His Word? Would you listen to His voice? Would you be saved today? And if you're saved and God's been speaking to your heart and He gently tugged at you this morning, right where you are, just make that right with God. That's what I encourage you to do. Just be right with Him. Listen to wisdom. Listen to God. Respond well. Father, bless your Word. Speak to every heart, save the lost, strengthen the saved. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the salvation you've given to us. And Lord, we pray for those that are not saved that they would be. And oh God, speak to our hearts that as your children, we would love you and seek you and respond as you desire us to respond so that we would give you the honor and the glory by the way we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number, Brother Paul?